Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You knew that would have gone on at least another 10 minutes. How much longer was that clip? There was more to that.
There was like another 2 minutes.
Stephen A. fired up. And listen, if you're a New York sports fan, not counting like the Buffalo Bills, if you're a New York football fan, I've never seen anything like this. Like, the Jets and the Giants have been bad before at the same time. Like, that's true. But I've never seen both teams implode like this at the same time. Like, really, I mean, that's what's going on here. The New York Jets are a rudderless, captainless ship right now, just about to sink. And the Giants, I don't even know what you call this right now. The Saquon thing in the offseason, I mean, listen, that's come back to bite them about as badly as anything can. And now you cut Daniel Jones? I'm shocked by this. I'm shocked to see this happening. Couldn't happen to a nicer city, by the way. But it's very like jarring to see this.
Well, we knew when he signed his contract that it was a mistake and you were going to pay long term and it was not going to work out. I mean, most people knew, I think.
Yeah.
They were in that weird spot where they had a guy coming off a good year and, we can do worse. We can do better. What do we do?
Right.
Kind of situation. But yeah, New York, you're right. I hadn't really thought of it like that. The two teams between, so a GM, a head coach, a quarterback, they let arguably the best player, offensive player in all of football leave over a little bit of money in the offseason, to the point where Bill Belichick's mocking you, and he has a history of letting people leave his teams.
He certainly does.
But he's mocking you on his podcasts. It is remarkable, and they can compete for quarterbacks and back page headlines and draft picks and everything except playoff games and Super Bowls.
Pretty much everything.
And the cherry on top of this ice cream sundae from New York perspective, you got Rex Ryan begging to coach the Jets again.
I know. Wouldn't that be something?
It would be awesome.
Talk about running it back. Running it back with a guy who, by the way, was a lot of fun when he was the coach.
And successful by Jets standards.
I mean, successful by Jets standards, sure.
He went to back-to-back AFC title games.
He certainly did. And he beat the Patriots when they looked like the best team in the world.
Had Mark Sanchez looking like a winner.
Yeah.
Now he's on our TV screens with a bad man bun or whatever the hell he was wearing last week.
Was it his man bun? You got that right.
Didn't care for it.
Do you think Danny Dimes lands somewhere? Do you think he's getting scooped up here? Because there's a lot of play.
Yeah,
he could go to Jacksonville. He could go to Vegas.
Absolutely.
He could go to
Carolina.
Any of these bad
teams.
Yeah, there's some spots where he could land, for sure.
He's not without talent.
Tennessee.
He is not without ability. I just think he's a fill-in starter, backup quarterback, journeyman quarterback. He's not a franchise quarterback you spend $40 million on.
Nope, he certainly is not. Joining us right now to discuss that and all the goings-on here with the New England Patriots is Boston Sports Journal's Mike Giardi, who joins us most Fridays. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, Mike, the Twitch chat wants to know, who's taller, you or me?
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
That's what she said.
Hey, how about that? Mike, good to have you on today. It's been an interesting week here for the Patriots. Let's go ahead and start with the whole Marcus Jones snafu that happened with Alex Van Pelt. I don't know if you're as prepared for this as Gerard Mayo was. He was like, oh, yeah, I knew you were going to ask about this. You'd probably imagine we're going to ask you about this as well. What does this say about the coaching staff in general, the communication going on in that building, and just the general awareness of their roster? Like, where does that sort of leave you after hearing all this?
Wasn't the whole idea a part of the whole idea of the change in regime from Bill Belichick to Gerard Mayo, Elliot Wolf and company was collaboration? How many times have we heard that word over and over and over again, to the point where I got numb hearing it? Like, okay, I get it, I get the point, right? Well, if you're going to collaborate, you need to communicate. I don't know how you don't communicate to an offensive coordinator whose offense struggled the first 5 weeks of the season and say, hey, by the way, I mean, it should have happened way before that, but hey, by the way, we're having a hard time scoring points. This guy, Marcus Jones, pretty explosive with the ball in his hands. You may have seen him on the punt returns, but like, he did some stuff for us on offense in his rookie year. And so when Gerard comes out and says what he says today, like, it was, I mean, obviously in the aftermath, it's a flimsy excuse, but if that hadn't come out that I didn't know, and you wanted to say like, oh, look, we decided early on, like, hey, Alex, he can play offense, but we gotta see him on defense first. We gotta see if he can be healthy. We need him out there, etc. Then I could live with it a little bit more than this explanation, you know, that was given in sort of trying to cover their tracks. It's just another example of them stepping in it. You know, small miscues, major miscues, stuff in between. It's been a lot of that this year, in the first year of this coaching staff.
Yeah, attention to detail just sort of seems to be lacking at times with them. That's just the reality. One thing that jumped out to me, though, today was Scott Peters. I don't know if you were in on him, but I was listening to some of the audio from him, and he was asked a question about our seven-step drops and quicker plays, and he basically said, I don't think that's really true. I think we're getting the ball out faster. And that led me, which I think was a moment of honesty from a coach, and it's obviously pointing towards a quarterback that's doing a pretty good job. Is Alex Van Pelt doing a better job? Is this offense better than it was a month and a half ago or 2 months ago? Or do they just have a better quarterback doing a better job leading the offense?
I think they have a better quarterback, but I think they're incorporating some of the things that, A, the quarterback does well, but B, what Alex wanted to do all along. And like, I think the misconception, especially because for the most part, for 20-something years, you lived in the same sort of offense and the same family of offense. And so, and especially with Tom as quarterback, you always started out kind of on an advanced page with that. That this thing was coming in at the ground floor, and new personnel, new coaches, new way of teaching things, new offense, like the whole part of it. You know, and every once in a while you got, well, you know, we ran some outside zone. No, like, you're trying to live off this. This is, you're building your whole offense around it. So I think there was a lot of stuff held back early on. I've referenced a million times. It felt like Alex was having to coach with one hand tied behind his back early for a lot of reasons. You know, the quarterback play, obviously the offensive line play, poor receiver. I mean, there's a million things, right? But now I feel like they're starting to understand exactly what Drake's capable of. And even last week, like, to me, for as great as Drake was, that was a really well-schemed game. They were like, we're afraid of their pass rush, but we can hit them quick, and you're smart enough to read it and get it out quick. I mean, I think I charted 33 of 40 throws were either behind the line of scrimmage or between 0 and 9 yards. It's like, to me, it was like a very Josh McDaniels-esque type plan, in the sense, like, there are times where they would come in with Brady and say, like, we can't protect, so we're just going to get it out quick. You're just going to find the guy, and, you know, it's sort of an extension of the run game to a certain degree, and we'll just keep hitting you with those plays. And that's what they did for the better part of that game.
The Patriots have historically had a real tough time playing games in Miami, even in the Belichick-Brady days, against Jag quarterbacks like Ryan Tannehill and Ryan Fitzpatrick, all the Ryans. This is now a new day, a new era, obviously, for both of these teams. And Miami, with Tua back, just beat the Rams. Do you think that the Patriots have a puncher's chance on Sunday?
Because I don't think Miami's awesome. And they're playing better, and they seem to have found a little bit of a formula here since Tua's come back. But I don't think I look at this team and say, oh, they're just like, this is a 10 or 11 or 12 win football team. that's played below its level because of the injury to Tua. I think they've struggled in various facets this year. Their offensive line's not all that great. You know, they sort of changed the way they're playing offense even more so since Tua's come back, because there's a real, I mean, if you watch it, guys, he's trying, like, they're basically saying, like, get rid of them.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The ball. We don't want you to get hit.
Right.
You know, like, they're still living in that, which I understand, by the way. I'm not criticizing it. But they're still living in that fear. And I think that's why you've seen Mostert has 23 catches in the last four games. Jonnu has 16 or 18 in the last four. Like, they're getting the ball out quicker, attacking the middle of the field quickly, checkdowns, you know, little things like that, letting their speedy guys run with it after the catch. So, they're more talented than you are for sure, but I don't think it's I just don't think it's like a dominant difference in talent.
So you famously called the Patriots wide receivers stink, stank, and stunk last year. You were right, although did I see some audio from Gillette the other day you and Kendrick Bourne have made up?
Well, I'd like to thank Dan Roach, as usual. Roach, he was swearing at me, and then Kendrick walked in, and he tried to shift it on me, and, you know, he's like, how much do you hate Mike Giardi? We're good. Like, yeah, you know, like Kendrick, even when last year happened, Kendrick handled it. You know, he made a little crack at the press conference. Like, he wasn't one who was staring me down, like, say, Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker doesn't play in the league anymore, for the record. Just, you know,
brag.
So, yeah, no, I think we're in a good place. But I think your point was, Andy, is how much better is this room?
No, actually, my point was going to be, I think this room still kind of stinks, but do you have a new nickname?
Stinks and stunks.
And
yeah.
Can I offer one up? What are Donald Duck's nephews' names?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah. Would that work for this group? Because they're a bunch of sort of young, don't have any idea what the hell they're doing, chickens with their heads cut off, kind of misfits.
Yeah, I mean, it just certainly, you know, they obviously reworked the room quite a bit in the offseason, and none of that's really gone to plan. KJ Osborne's supposed to be like that solid veteran pro, and, you know, he's out there on Instagram, like, basically saying, I want to be traded.
I forgot he was still here.
To be traded.
Is he still on the team?
I know.
Does he exist?
He's still on the team.
Why?
I don't know. He would have been gone that week, as far as I'm concerned. And then when you didn't trade him, I don't know. I don't know the logic behind that. I mean, Tyquan forced his way out. You know, that situation, the way it devolved there at the end, that was his doing. And they relented, ascended, you know, let him go. They haven't gotten anything, really. Polk has taken a step back. Baker, you know, Andy, you and I were there. We sat on the hill. There was like 4 days of good Javon Baker, and then – yeah. I really haven't seen it since.
Nope.
And there's a lot of people that are fascinated by him, and he certainly has talent, but well, the fact that we're already here in November and they haven't been able to get him on the field, or when they do, they have to take him off, like, it says a lot.
He got benched from kickoff return without fumbling. Usually kickoff return, the way you get benched,
not
is
just
you
that, he had a 40-yard return.
Right. And he somehow got benched from it. That's not easy to do, Michael.
No, it's not. I mean, I think that the hurdling, the attempt to hurdle, there was just a lot of stuff there that didn't make a lot of sense. You know, you're making the cross there, the iron cross, the guy, you know, we're not going to run it back, and then you start to run it back. There's a lot of confusion there, but that's been, from what I can tell, that's sort of what he's been like behind the scenes. It's sort of a nutshell of him and trying to understand the playbook. You know, there's still talk about that, still, like, he's got to he's got to get a full grasp on it, and he doesn't have that yet.
So the guy who is supposed to be, and I think I may have stupidly said 100-catch receiver, I regret that a little bit now, Pop Douglas, supposed to be sort of the year two jumper, the go-to guy. At the end of the game last week, they tried to go to him, and he was trying to go to the locker room early or something. He didn't look back. He was running like Forrest Gump down the field. What did you make of that? Did you buy Alex Van Pelt that was on Pop? Was he defending his quarterback at the cost of his wide receiver? And is DeMario Douglas, is he a foxhole guy?
That's a good question. I don't know that we know that yet, which maybe is your answer already to the latter one, question you just asked.
Yep.
I would say I don't think that Alex Van Pelt was covering for his quarterback. I thought in the moment, and I thought on the rewatch, that he was trying to throw him to a spot or wanted him to throttle down.
Right.
And he obviously, as you've seen the film over, he wasn't even looking.
Nope.
Now, the only problem with that is I don't think the throw, even had he throttled down, I think the throw was not at the right place. So it still may have ended up in a bad result. And Alex said, it would have been a completion. I don't know that it would have been a completion, but I think that they didn't see it. And I think that's part of what Drake was talking about when we heard him talk on Wednesday about, asking about, sort of spatial relationships. Are you throwing to a route? Are you throwing to a spot? And I think he wants more guys to sort of, okay, this is the play that was drawn, and you can be in the general area, but you didn't need to go that far. You needed to realize, hey, no, there's a little soft spot here. This is where I need to sink.
Right.
And he didn't. So I think that's sort of part of the conversation there about popping that play.
Mike, before we let you go, is Robert Kraft ever going to make it to the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't think so. Uh-huh. This is morbid, but it feels like this is something that might happen posthumously. Like, there's clearly politics at play here. I remember having this argument when he got to this point, like that was one of the final guys, and Tom Kerr and I were on TV and we're talking about it. And I was talking about how, the ownership, there's like this clique of ownership group, and Robert's not at the popular kids table anymore. And it hasn't been for a while. And Kerr looked at me, he's like, well, they don't vote. And I'm like, yeah, but they influence the vote. And I think the vote is being influenced heavily. I think there are people that, for whatever reason, whether it's the past success, whether it's, some of the things that happened during the course of that success that they take issue with, and whether it's the latest stuff, sort of trying to prop yourself up. But, that's a little bit of a red herring. Like, you're not going to vote for a guy because Stacey James is cornering you in the lobby at an owner's meeting. Like, you're not going to vote for him anyway. So you can use that as an excuse, but the reality is someone got to you, or you have this in your head that this guy doesn't belong. And I don't know how a team that can win 6 Super Bowls and go to 9 during his ownership, just the Belichick era. I'm not even talking about how they're not in.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. We appreciate it. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Mike.
Mike Giardi joining us
Mike.
Here. Yes, right. 6'5" Mike
sure
Giardi
about that.
Joining
gonna,
us here
next time
on WEEI afternoons. We'll see. Maybe he's wearing lifts. Could
he's
be something
not
like that.
Tall.
Neither are you.
No. I know.
Right.
But that would be like Mike Reese telling me he's 2 inches taller than me. He is not.
Are you taller than Reese?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
By a
Reese
lot.
Is a little guy, yeah. Reese is a little fella.
Mike Giardi played college football. I bet you I can find.
Did he?
Yeah. Giardi.
Kicker?
Where did he go? Trinity. No, wide receiver.
Wide receiver, okay.
Let's see if
Trinity in Connecticut.
Yes.
They have a football team.
Yes, it's the NESCAC.
Didn't know that.
It's the NESCAC. It's a very high level of
Division I had some friends
football.
Who went to Trinity and I think played tennis there. Either Trinity or Connecticut College, one of the two, one of those Connecticut schools.
Yeah,
but there you go.
It's a good NESCAC is good. Tufts, yeah. Williams, Amherst, Trinity, Wesleyan, Bates, Bowdoin.
Did you guys play each other?
No, he's older than I am.
Oh,
he's an old coot. You ever seen that gray in his hair?
Well, yeah, but I mean, sometimes guys go gray and they're
Speaking
not that
of
old.
Which, that no, we're not supposed to make fun of other shows or their producers.
But I'm about to right now.
Nick LaPan.
Yeah.
Go a little gray. A
little bit.
A little gray there.
Noticed that, yeah.
I hadn't seen him, I guess, in a while.
I saw
him today.
That's the Adam Jones effect
right there. I feel
like
right it
there. Is. You start working
the
with Jones, you go gray right
yes.
away. That's 100% what
I noticed
that
today. Nick LaPan got a little gray, and it did happen when he started working with Jones.
If you missed any part of that interview with Mike Giardi, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app or wherever wherever you find your podcast. We'll continue with our NFL conversation. Pretty good snowball game last night. The Cleveland Browns ruining a lot of people's parlays there with a win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fun game, fun Jameis Winston soundbites as well. We'll get to all of that next.